Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good morning. What do you do when you're a speaker and you come out chewing gum? How are you all doing this morning? I'm doing better. See, you don't think about those kind of things. I do. What happens when you come out and, well, let's don't even go there. A lot of different things with the speaker. What are you going to do? You know. This morning, I'm going to take you to a second part of our series. But before I do, I've got a guest that I want to interview here for 5 or 6 minutes. Her husband, before he died, was an NBA player for about 10 years, came from Bakersfield, Lonnie Shelton. And I want to interview her, and you will see as the day unfolds in the next 45 minutes why I'm interviewing her. So I'm going to ask Kathy Shelton to come out, and I want you to give her a good Valley Bible Fellowship welcome. God bless you.
Did he put some gum under my seat? Or what is, what's it?
That's right. Just pretend it isn't there.
ABC gum.
Kathy, I got it. This lady is an anomaly, and that's in a good sense. I just told her backstage, she has a gift, and you're going to hear in my sermon today that the devil tries to counterfeit real things. And when I first met Kathy, I was in 24-Hour Fitness. I'm sitting in a machine, I'll never forget. And you're over there talking about Jesus to people. And you're talking about Jesus, Jesus. And I went over and kind of butted into the conversation. And we got to know one another. Now, since then, this lady's got a gift. You got a gift. And so I'm going to say this much, and I want to ask you 2 or 3 questions. But I go to the gym, and the last week, twice, I've been talking to my wife about something. I pull in the gym. You're pulling out as I pull in. What timing? And I thought, man, I'm in such a rush today, Kathy. I got to go. But when she gets me, I can't leave. Because she starts telling me all this stuff. And she's got so much love just oozing out of her. And she prays for me. And unbelievable. Now, you tell me about this gift that you've been given. This is a pretty cool gift. Tell me about it. When did it start? How does it work through you? I mean, you're back there right now with my son and my wife. They said, keep talking, keep talking.
Well, you know what? God said, I knew you before I placed you in your mother's womb. I had a relationship with you then. Jesus, I knew you. That's awesome. I knew you before I put you in your mother's stomach. I ordained you. I sanctified you. I set you apart, called you a prophet then. To the nations, I knew you. That's interesting.
Okay, right there. See what she does? What's she doing right there? She has no idea that day I was traveling. I said, I'm quitting the ministry. I opened up and said, I called you from your mother's womb. No man called. She doesn't know that. So I'm sitting here going, that's exactly what he's told me. Keep talking.
Well, because God knows.
We might not have a sermon today. Just keep talking.
Let me tell you the other day. In him you live and move and have your being. I guess about a couple weeks ago, the Holy Spirit woke me up. It was 4:00. He said, I want you to go to McDonald's. I'm like, what? Sit up under the light and I want you to pray. Okay. So I get in my car, go to McDonald's. I sit up under that light with my little flashlight and I study the word. And he said, now at 7:00, I want you to go into Target. Oh, okay. So I go into Target at 7 and there's this lady in there. And she said, hey, do you work here? I said, do I look like I work here with this hat all torn up? And she said, well, I'm having a heart attack. And she called 911. And I laid my hands on her. Bam! You're not going to die today. I said, I know you want to die, but you're not going to die today. So she fell out on the floor. I said, no, sit up. So the ambulance comes, and they put her on the gurney, and they gave her some pills, and she started praying in the spirit, and I said, you guys leave her alone because she's trying to reach the great physician. I know, huh? So, is my girl over here? Oh, anyway. So, she started praying, and I said, well, what happened to you? She said, well, my daughter died in my arms, and the funeral's tomorrow, and I can't take this. This is hard. That's why I said, I know you want to die, but you're not going to die today because God has a plan for you. So they took her out. They were going to take her to the heart hospital. And she came back in like 30 minutes. I said, what are you doing here? She said, I'm not going to the hospital. I said, okay. But she brought a friend with her. And her friend, when I saw her, said, you're a silent sufferer. What happened to you? She said, my daughter died in my arms too. She got killed in Las Vegas. Remember they had that shooting in Las Vegas? I said, oh my God. I have a point to this, actually. And so I began to pray for both of them. And so God reminded me, he said, that was like a hit. What the enemy meant for evil. And whoever has sickness over here, God said he's going to heal you of the cancer. I don't know. I saw it this morning, early in the morning, that somebody was sick over here. God's going to restore everything the enemy tried to take. Anyway, so the lady said she was a silent sufferer. But my point is, what Satan meant for evil, God is already turning things around because he woke me up at 4 a.m. Check this out. Go over here, study and pray. Go at 7 o'clock to Target and intervene because Satan meant to keep me. Excuse me. He meant to kill her. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God said what Satan meant for evil, God is turning it around for your good, and he has a plan. Just like before you were born, God knew that you were going to be sitting in here tonight. Today, he knew that he was going to be your pastor. Whew, is that powerful? So the Bible says the race isn't given to the strong, the rich, the poor, the black, the white, the Republicans, or the Democrats. But to those that endure to the end. And if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will endure. You can make it. You hear me? You can make it. You can make it. I was telling his son, the son of thunder in the back, his son, with a powerful mantle that's going to be passed from this one as he gets his elevation for the country. I forgot what I was
talking
about.
See how encouraging she is. It's never a downer. It's always lifting you up. You know, and again, I had my eyes on her going, you know, and so it took me a few times. I'm going to the gym and I'm telling my wife, I said, you know what? The devil's harassing me, Debbie. He's harassing. I'm telling you, let's pray.
She goes
walking. She says, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. Do you know the devil's a liar? And I go, you got to be kidding me. And that's happened more time than one. But the main thing is, this lady's bubbling over and over. She does this everywhere. And it's such love in her gift.
Well, God
such
is love.
Building people up.
Oh, you are a blessing.
Yeah, well.
Because God is love. And he said, I will put my spirit within you, and God is love. Yeah. And my spirit within you will cause you to walk in my character and my statutes. And God is love. God is love. And I will put my love in you, and my love in you will cause you to walk in my character. Jesus. One time I was just really going through so much. My auntie, pastor's wife, I said, oh, auntie, I can't do this. She said, suck on the root of that tree, niece. Suck on the root of that tree, Jesus. That's all I was going to say.
Well, you know what? If nothing else, they think probably some of them, I'm kind of weird because I'm the guy that'll get up at 4 a.m. with my flashlight, go into Target at 7. And I was saying to you back there, Kathy, you know, to me, the way you're living, the way I'm living, is the normal way that every Christian should be living.
Amen.
And it's walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
It's living by faith. Yes. And so she's just inspiration. I wanted you to meet her, and I wanted you to see this as a picture, as a backdrop to what I'm going to teach this morning.
Yeah.
So.
One more thing.
So, why don't you pray for them?
Okay. Because what I see is God really wants to activate your gifts. Everyone is yep. gifted in here, whether it's love, because sometimes somebody just needs a hug to break off depression or fear. And so he really wants to activate the gifts in their belly.
Yeah. In fact, I want to pray for you. You're always praying for everybody else. I want to pray for you. I want to do this right here. Father God, this lady's been an inspiration to me. And Lord, I pray today that you would keep her, continue to bless her and use her. She's always given out. I see her in the gym praying with other people, ministering to other people, prophesying to other people. Now bring that all back on her. And this day, give her a blessing. Give her a blessing. And continue to use her and have her at McDonald's at the right time every morning. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody
thank
say amen.
Thank you.
Love you.
Bye. Love you guys. Thank you.
Give me your address before you leave. I want to say something. Okay. Thank you. We got about 35 minutes left. Can you just hang with me? Amen. We're doing a series, Why Not? And last week we went off our billboard, Why Not Try Church? Today we're going to talk about why not find your spiritual gift. Gang, God has a purpose for every one of you on this earth. And nobody else can fulfill that purpose but you. It's unique. And God has given us all a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a unique way God has given you to love other people. And it's unique to you. We're not all like Kathy. And you're not all like me. We're all made uniquely by God and given unique gifts. Now, did you know that this life is a test? You're being tested. God's testing you to see what you will do with what he's given you on this earth. And whatever you do with what God's given you on this earth will also determine what you're going to do in eternity. Now, Kathy, when I first met her, and I told her back there, I said, most people like you, I don't want to hurt, I'm not talking about you, but they're fake as a $3 bill. You're unique. It took about six times for her hitting something right, hitting the nail on the head for me to realize this lady's got something a little different. And I'll talk about that today, but even if I don't, let me say this. Have you seen any counterfeit $3 bills lately? Why would anybody counterfeit a $3 bill? Because there's no real $3 bills. There's a lot of people that will try to counterfeit what she has, and they're fake. She, I believe, is somebody that's pretty right on. At least she's been in my life. I know she is. She's not, and I love her for that. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to skip some of this. I want to, the clock's really against me today. Parable of the minas, real quickly, so I can reinforce what I've said so far. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this. Now, let's stop there for a second. Do business with this. This particular parable is about money. But the spirit of it for us today is not about money. It's about all the gifts and resources God has given us to get his will done on this earth. And he says, I'm giving you this stuff to accomplish my will. Do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him, sent a delegation. We do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, now obviously you know that this whole parable is relating to Jesus. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called in to him so that he might know what business they had done. You know the rest of the story. One guy comes to him and says, your mina has made 10 more minas. And he said, great job, be over 10 cities. The other guy comes in and says, your mina has made 5 more minas. He says, great job, be over 5 cities. Now, your spiritual gift, as I said, is a unique way God's given you to love people. It's your way of building up the body of Christ and contributing. Like the United States Army, you have all these different soldiers with different jobs. The United States Army, their effectiveness is based upon their being fully equipped. Some soldiers carry rifles. Some carry machine guns. Some carry maybe grenade launchers. Some drive tanks, some fly jets, some fly helicopters. You have medics, and they have their first aid kits. And all of these different soldiers are necessary in order to win a war. You got them all doing their thing. and they're dependent upon one another. It'd be really cool in the church if we started being more dependent upon one another and our gifts. For example, if you were in the army and you went to a foot soldier and said, I want to know something about tanks, he would send you to the tank brigade. If you went to the guys driving the tanks and said, I want to know something about flying jets, they'd send you to that company. Here at the church, if we start recognizing one another's gifts, if you came to me and said, hey, I want to know something about the gift of leadership, I'd send you to Pastor Tom. See, he's got a fantastic gift of leadership. Men will follow him anywhere. If you said, I want to know something about the gift of knowledge, I'd send you to Pastor Hector because he knows the word probably better than me. I want to know something about encouragement. Pastor Steve Tedder has a gift of encouragement. Pastor John, gift of helps. I don't think there's anything that Pastor John can't do. Gift of wisdom, I'd probably send you to my wife because this lady has ruined so many board minutes after our meetings. It's unbelievable. Us guys will come together and I'll come home and tell her, I'll say, tonight in the board, we decided to do such and such. We spent 3 hours talking about it. We decided this is the thing to do. And I will then sometimes explain to her the complex way we're going to get to whatever we're to do. And she'll go, well, that's kind of stupid. Why didn't you just do this? And I, oh my gosh, she's exactly right. She's done this for years. The lady has just got a gift of wisdom, man, and it's very simple. Now, I said it before, but it bears repeating. What would this church be like if all of us knew our gifts and we were all operating with our gifts? Say on a sunny morning you came here and you had a big booth out there and it says Genius Bar, like Apple. And you had guys there, and if you had Bible questions, you'd come up and take your Bible out and they'd help you because they have a gift of knowledge. And then you go by another little booth out there and it says gift of compassion. If you've lost a love or anything, we got all these people and that's their spiritual gift. And they'll just love on you and they'll give you resources to get through your grief. And then we have another booth over there. It's a gift of helps. And it has a bookkeeper, a CPA in there, a mechanic, a beautician. And they go, you know, we have the gift of helps, the gift of service. And you know, for single moms, we change your oil and we do all this stuff. I mean, wouldn't that just be really cool to see a church like that? We could be that church. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to kind of try to speed through this because I didn't get through first service. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Now, let's look at the Greek word for unaware. Not to know through lack of information. It's pretty sad when you'd go to almost any church in Bakersfield, not any, but a lot of them, and ask them, you know, some questions about the gifts of the Spirit. They'd go, well, I'm unaware of that because they haven't been taught. Now look at verse number 4. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And the word gifts in the Greek is miraculous endowment and even divine gratuity. I want you to hold on to that second one, divine gratuity, for a second. And then verse 5 says, and there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. In other words, when you get your gift of the Spirit or you realize what it is, that gift of the Spirit can be used in all kinds of different ministries. It can be used in the church, in youth department, in worship. The greeters, you can use it in your neighborhood. You can use it at work. And then it says after that, but I'm not going to read the verse, that there's different effects. In other words, when you use your gift, it'll affect people differently. Now, are you still with me? Because I'm going kind of quick here. Let's say that all the worship people realize what their gift is. See, spiritual gifts have nothing to do with talents. That's two different things. These guys have had these talents since they were young. And I want you to know, these are some of the best musicians in Bakersfield up here. They are. They're all professional musicians. When we were growing in the church, we'd just say, hey, who knows how to play a piano? Hey, were you raised in that church where we would actually, the pastor would come and say, Sister Morgan, you want to lead worship this morning? Sister Morgan would walk up, she'd say, page 232. So he'd say, oh, 230, okay, we'll change it to 234. And were you raised in that church? Oh, it's crazy. Thank God we're not still there. But let's say that the band knew, and man, you know, let's say one of our worship leaders had the gift of exhortation. He'd probably be doing a lot of fast songs because that's his gift. His gift is being employed in his worship. But if we were operating correctly, you might have somebody else in the worship team that has a spirit of compassion or whatever. And so when it comes to a slow song, you might say, you know, that's your gift. Minister that to the people. Another person, the worship team, might have a gift of teaching. And we say, hey, you do scripture songs. Get a scripture song for us. Do you understand how this works? Through the years, we've had many song leaders, and we've had a few worship leaders. They're two different characters totally. And so let's look at verse 7 through 12, which I didn't read last service. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, various kinds of tongues, another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, they're one body, so also is Christ. Now, all the gifts that were in the New Testament church are still available today. I don't care who tells you differently. There's no one verse in the Bible that says anything differently. And besides, we know it through experience. I've heard pastors say there's no such thing as gift of miracles anymore, and they call a miracle delivering people from demons deliverance, and I'll tell you what, I know that's true. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 7. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him. He's talking to the Corinthian church. We know that gifts abounded there. He says, everything you were enriched with him, all speech, all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you're not lacking in any gift. Now get this part for you Bible students, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you know what? You have all these gifts, and they're going to be yours until the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, if you're a student of the Bible, it says there that certain gifts will pass away until the perfect comes. For years, theologians have argued about what the perfect is, and the majority of churches have decided the perfect is the completion of the canon of Scripture. But if you read that text clearly and plainly, it doesn't say that. It says, when the perfect comes, we'll see you face to face. We'll see you as you are. And here it just dispels that whole idea. The perfect is the return of Jesus Christ. And the thought line in many churches is, we don't need the gifts of Spirit anymore. They were just in the apostolic days, and they were there to confirm the message. Well, don't we need the message confirmed yet today? What has changed? Nothing has changed. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but when somebody tries to tell you the gifts of the Spirit have passed away, tell them that isn't true. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 7, did we read that yet? Did we just read that? You just read that. I'm sorry. I had a bad night last night. Just don't go there. I had a back problem, a bad one, and I took some medication, pain medication, and I sat and stared at the ceiling all night. I think I slept an hour. That's neither here nor there. We already read Corinthians. See, 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. Above all, keep fervent in your love. Now please, this is going to make sense to you. Please, listen closely. Put your thinking caps on. Isn't that right, Christina? We still do that in school. Put your thinking caps on. We used to do that. Above all, keep fervent in your what? What does that say?
Love.
Love. For one another. That remember, a spiritual gift is a unique way to love one another. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable. Now, here's something. We've got to bring the ministry of hospitality back. These little things are huge. The gift of hospitality is where once every week or two, you have people over to your house for some burgers. And you just let Jesus take over. It can be non-believers, believers. It's really cool. So be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, now this is important, He's to do it as one who is speaking the utterance of God. If you're going to speak, man, come on. Just say, you know, God told me to say this. God put this on my heart. And whoever serves, do so as one who's serving by the strength which God supplies. Hey, I come to serve you, and I came because God told me to come. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Okay. Every gift is to be Spirit-led and directed. You don't remember. I do. You forgot this, my friend in the front row. One day, years ago, I had a broken sprinkler pipe in my front yard. And I saw that, and it ruined my whole day. And I went in and said, God, you know, I don't have time to do this. And you know, I don't know how to fix stuff. I'm terrible. I'm not a real man. My poor wife, I told you, I bought her a drill for Mother's Day 6 years ago. I hold the ladder while she fixes things, and that's okay. I'm comfortable in my skin. And so I was griping for hours, and I watched Price is Right and stuff, trying to put it off, and knock at the door, and this friend of mine is out there. He said, you know what? He's smiling, had a shovel. He said, God told me to come by and help you fix your sprinkler. God told you? You know what kind of opinion that gives me about God? Say, God, that is pretty doggone cool. And I got more stories. I mean, it's neat when I sit on a plane and able to look at somebody and say, I am here to minister to you. God told me that I was to pray the right person, the right seat. See, doing it by the power of the Spirit. Now, I believe that everyone has at least one primary gift. Some of you might have two or three primary gifts. But I also believe that you're not confined to just your primary gift. I believe you can get into certain situations where God will give you a gift that's not your primary gift to use in that particular situation. I believe with all my heart. So the key today, I could talk to you all day, but what you're going to leave here wondering is, how do I find my spiritual gift? Okay. Pastor Ron, how do I find it? And please don't use that broken communion tray illustration again. Because I used to use the illustration, somebody's walking down the aisle, they fall and spill a communion tray, grape juice goes all over, and I'd say, now what's your first response? Well, I want to run over and make sure they're okay. Maybe you have the gift of compassion. I want to make sure somebody gets a broom and clean some gift of ministration. I want to buy a new communion tray for the church, you know, gift of giving. And I used to use that, but I think it's easier. I've been praying some time ago, and God, how do we find our spiritual gift? I don't want to use the old communion tray thing again. I'm tired of that. And I felt like God gave me a surefire way that you're going to find your gift. It's already in you, but it's going to be revealed to you. And it's one simple verse that you all know by heart, and here it is. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I'll give you an A for effort. That's the weakest applause I've ever heard. That's all right. That's all right. Not a big deal. I don't need applause, but thank you. Yeah. Now, listen to me closely. I believe that we're making things too difficult. When you get saved, you throw yourself into the kingdom of God, serving God. And instead of trying to find your gift will find you. It'll find you. I told you earlier that one of the meanings of gift can be divine gratuity. Now, why do we tip people in a restaurant? Well, usually because they gave us good service. They did their job well. I believe with all of my heart that when God looks down and sees you doing Matthew 6:33 or whatever, he goes, I'm going to give them divine gratuity. I'm going to put some gifts on them. I'm going to reveal their gifts to them because of what they're doing. They're doing their job well, loving me. Or I should say, he reveals them to you. Does this just make common sense? Why would God care about you finding your spiritual gift if you weren't fulfilling Matthew 6:33? If you're not doing it for the kingdom now, why would he even go out of his way to reveal his gift to you? Because you're not going to use it if he reveals it to you. Now, I believe that the church has to get back to its essential purpose. If you were here last week, if you weren't, watch the CD. We told you all the areas we're giving to. We told you how we're loving this community. It's got a video about in the middle of the sermon. And I have always thought that the church's primary thing should be love. That should be primary. It's the major. See, when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about God. I just knew that I loved people and I wanted them to have what I had. And I would go out to their house and bring them groceries. And we said, I told Debbie, let's bring some foster kids in so we can love them. Let's love. Let's find people to love. I didn't know much theology. I still don't, but I wanted to love people. Show me any spiritual gift not connected to love, and I'll show you probably an illegitimate gift. Keep that in your mind. That's really important. Kathy, that I brought out, I've never heard her prophesying to people. I'm going, you know what? If you don't get right, you're going to hell. The devil's a liar. And she quotes scripture, quote praise for you, quote scripture, edifying. And there's so much love. I get so mad at myself sometimes because I'll get home and say, did you really say that? I need to stick to my notes more. I can really get off and get off on some stuff, and then my wife won't love me anymore. I want to borrow a thought, and I saw this in my old notes. In fact, Pastor Jim called me and said, where was those notes at that you did on a sermon some time ago? And I went across these notes, and I think it was John Corse. It might have been Chuck Smith, but one of them I heard this from, I took notes, and I think it's too good to pass up here. And so we're turning the corner. Give me about 8 or 9 more minutes. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. If I speak with the tongues of men of angels, the gift of tongues here, now say with me, the gift of tongues, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have the gift of faith as to remove mountains, but don't have love, I'm still a noisy gong or noisy cymbal. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Now, what's the common factor about a cymbal, a bell, a gong? They're all percussion instruments. Now get this. They're all made to be played in an orchestra. What would you think if I said in closing today we're going to have a cymbal special as you go out? The cymbal guy's going to come out and do a number for you. You gotta give me a break. We'd all leave with a headache is what we would do. What he's trying to say, among other things here, he says, when people are using their gifts outside of love, all they're doing is giving people a headache. That's all they're doing is giving people a headache. I mean, this is really, really important. Now, Exodus 28:1-2. Bring near to yourself Aaron, your brother, the sons, all the priests. Go to the next verse. Bring all the priests, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron and your brothers. And those holy garments are for glory and for beauty. I don't have time because I'm low on time today to explain glory and beauty. The garments of the priests are to give people an opinion about God. They're to blow people away. And glory is basically seeing God through a reflection of him. The moon reflects the sun. If I'm preaching, somebody says, glory, that means I see God in that. So these priestly robes were to reflect God's glory so people would have an opinion about God. Now, stay with me. Don't go anywhere. The New Testament says that every one of us are now priests of Almighty God. Usually a lot of stuff in the Old Testament that's physical has a spiritual connotation in the New Testament. We're the priests of God, but we don't wear physical robes. We do have robes. As priests, we have robes. Ephesians 4:24. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness. Next verse. Galatians 3:27, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Next verse. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high. Our robes today are not physical robes. They're the robes of the Holy Spirit. And just as their robes in the Old Testament were made to reflect God so people will have an opinion about God, so are our robes. Now, if you read about the robes of the Old Testament priests, what's interesting is that the hem of the robe, they had bells attached. Hello, stay with me, bells. Bells, 1 Corinthians 13. But between the bells were pomegranates. Baal pomegranate, Baal pomegranate. Look at Exodus 28:34. And a golden Baal and a pomegranate. He's talking about what you put on the robes. You put a golden Baal and a pomegranate, golden Baal and a pomegranate. Now, we already saw in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said that gifts are bells, like bells. And with the, when they're without love, they're out of context of the way they're supposed to be used. They'll just give you a headache. Now, pomegranates, what were pomegranates? Well, in the Old Testament, as they went in to search out the promised land, they brought back fruit. And it says one of the main fruits they brought back was huge pomegranates. In the promised land, the Old Testament, it was filled with fruit. And we know in the New Testament, our promised land is filled with fruit of the Spirit. So pomegranates are fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, on and on and on. Now, go back and visit Israel with me. And let's say we're walking down the marketplace back in the day. There's a big crowd and they go, the priest is in the marketplace today. Oh, really? Yeah, he's been there about an hour or two. How do you know he's in there? Hear the bells? Hear the bells? The bells reveal his presence and his reality. Spiritual gifts today, they tell us about God's presence and his reality. Blows me away. For example, I think of all the different times that Charlie Garcia would come with a gift of the Spirit and he'd blow me away. I mean, my daughter, she was 8 months pregnant or nine, went to some friend's house for dinner and they had a big dog. The big dog jumped up on her and hit her stomach and she thought it hurt the baby and all night she just couldn't even sleep. Came to church the next day, Charlie comes up and says, the Lord says, tell you, your baby's okay. What does that do? It's a gift of the Spirit. It makes us realize the presence of God is here. God is real. It confirms that. You've heard my God stories, and I don't want to bore you with them. But every time somebody comes up and uses a gift of the Spirit, and I go, oh my gosh, like Kathy. I pulled up the other day, too, at the gym, and I told my wife, I don't know if I can work out my back. She walks right up to me and lays her hands on my back, so I pray for this area right now of your body. And I go, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Now, Paul was a genius. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 12 is a chapter on gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13 is on love. 1 Corinthians 14 is gifts of the Spirit again. Baal, pomegranate, Baal. So what are you trying to say, Ron? I want to make this very easy as we end it. When God looks down and sees us doing Matthew 6:33, and we're out there, man, doing the kingdom work. And the kingdom work is always love. When he sees us loving people, then I think he has a real, real desire to reveal our gift to us. Because we got the love thing down. Now, again, I said it earlier, but the devil will counterfeit only real things. He doesn't have to counterfeit fake things. And so today, you see a lot of people out there with gifts of the Spirit, but they have no love about them. Those are not legitimate gifts. Legitimate gifts that God is blessing, that he's sanctifying and using, will always be surrounded by love, always. I know of a guy who does deliverances, and he puts them on CD and sells them for $30 delivering. That guy doesn't have a legitimate gift because it's out of the nature of God. So I have a lot more to say today, but I want you to see something, and that is, this is the way you're going to discover your spiritual gift, by just throwing something. Don't worry about it. Let me use myself again in closing. When I first got saved, I didn't know anything about spiritual gifts, didn't know anything about theology at all, but I knew I loved God. And I knew that I was seeing God, and I was hearing God, and it was so exciting to me. And so I started praying, God, you know, how am I used? I want to be used by you. And I went to our church, Assembly God Church, that was called Bethel Temple Assembly God in Niles. Now, that church later on went in with Hillcrest Assembly, and they became Canyon Hills. And I went there, and I said, God, you know, I want to start serving you. I love you. I want to be a part of the kingdom. And so I went to our church and I said, I want to start leading youth. Do you have a youth leader spot? And they go, no, but you can teach fourth grade boys, Sunday school. I thought, man, I don't even know if I like fourth grade boys. Man. But it's so cool when I can use my past life to illustrate to you exactly what I've been teaching you. I said, but whatever, I'll do it. See, when you don't know what to do, do what you do know what to do. All I had to do is get the train on the tracks, and then God would take it from there. Some of you don't have the train on the tracks. And so I said, I'll do it. I'll do it. I remember I got those fourth grade boys, and they'd be hitting each other, and I'd go, come on, guys. I'm going to go out 5 minutes, beat each other up, and I'll come back in 5 minutes. I'd walk out. They didn't teach me how to be a teacher. They didn't teach me anything. I just walked in, and I don't even know what I did. Probably gave them a bunch of Bible stories that weren't even right because I didn't know my Bible very well, but I was teaching. And then from there, God moved me to a youth pastor. From a youth pastor, he moved me to this, what I am today. But see, I got trained on the tracks. Now, I didn't know what my gift is. Can I tell you something right now? You say, what is your gift of the Spirit? Okay, thank you. I don't know. Whatever comes out of me, that's what it is. I think probably I could describe it, probably exhortation, an exhorter trying to be a teacher. That's kind of it. But see, I think we said, well, what's your gift? If you get into the kingdom of God, you'll automatically just start doing whatever your gift is. God will get you there, but you got to get the train on the tracks so he can steer you somewhere. And that comes through seeking God's kingdom. Once you learn your gift, like me, I know mine's probably exhorter, teacher. And it might even be apostle. I'm hoping not. And apostle's a spiritual thing. It's not literal apostles like they were back in the New Testament. But to me, an apostle is kind of like a missionary. He goes out and starts churches everywhere. And he gets them on the right track, man. And I love doing that. You know the thing that I like doing more than anything in the world? If I had my wishes granted me today, I'd like to travel the world with big congregations telling them some of the simple things I've learned about what it is to be a Christian. Because I don't think they know. A lot of them don't know. So anyway, I got a lot more to say. Clock says I'm up, but we got next week. We can continue talking, okay? So go out today and ask God. Say, God, please show me my gift. Show me my gift. Because once you do get some kind of idea what your gift is, you know I don't do that. I let somebody else do that, and I don't do that. I let somebody else do that. And I'm learning that today, that what my gift is. And sometimes the gifts go through changes. My son keeps telling me, Dad, you're supposed to be teaching young pastors. That's what you're supposed to be doing. So let's end it right there. Leave you hanging. Remember what I've taught you? We're yoked with Jesus. We do our part and plant a seed. Then he has to do the rest. So I kind of gave you what was on my heart today. Now God just do the rest with it. That's it. You can take that anywhere you want to take it. I'm through. I'm going home watching football. And I'm going to tell you now, I've had a hard week. I'm writing a book, and this book is going to be good. I can see this book in Target or Hobby. I really can. It's called Conversations with God. And I've been working so hard on that. And hopefully, almost through. I'm on day 260. Hopefully, we'll have that out for you, I'm hoping, by Christmas. But until then, I'm working hard, and I'm going to go and watch football. And if you're going to die, don't die today, because I'm going to watch football. You die tomorrow. Okay, you die tomorrow, not today. And then I'll minister to you tomorrow, and I'll do your funeral later, but you know. Father God, thank you that you teach us every time we come. And Lord, I'm an exhorter, but today, this is what you laid on my heart. And Lord, I see as I get older, my style of ministry is going to change. I'm going to come in sometimes and go, this is what's on my heart today. I'm going to talk to you. And it doesn't have to be a right-on sermon. Just it's on my heart. I got it off my heart. I don't know why I talked about this today. I don't know why. But I know I tried to talk about other things. You didn't let me. So I just put it out on them now, and they can just do with it whatever they want. That's it. We're going to do a lot of that this coming year. So right now, if you don't know Jesus, come up and see these people. If you need prayer, come up and see these people. If you need to get something off your heart, get up the altar and pray it through. Other than that, I'm leaving. See you here, there, in the air. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.